This is a Dragon Blazer production, and I am the Little Boogeyman. All right.
Coming down the aisle, it's the podcast tag team champions of the world, the Rage and Blaze Show.
Welcome to another exciting edition to the Rage and Blaze Show. I'm Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
And, you know, I just can't. I can't get excited right now. I'm sorry, but I just can't do this. I mean, we're about to do WrestleMania 5. I was all pumped up, had the energy level up, but I just, something's just weighing on me. I just can't do it.
What's weighing on you, Rage?
The Golden Role Models broke up.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty distraught about this, man. I mean, Bayley turned on Sasha, and it feels like the current landscape of wrestling just isn't going to be the same. Why do bad things happen to good gimmicks?
Where do broken hearts go?
I know we are like a classic wrestling type of show, but just keep in mind, guys, that we are real people too, that watch real wrestling on a weekly basis. And even though we're about to do a show from April 2nd, 1989, WrestleMania 5, where the mega powers collide, just know that we live in the real world. In the real world, things are dark and grim right now because we don't have the Golden Role Models together anymore.
It's okay.
I just need a minute.
It's okay. Need a minute. Let it out, bro. Let it out, Rage.
I don't know if you can hear it through the microphone, but these are real tears. I'd cry right now. Because every week, Mondays and Fridays, on the USA Network and on Fox, and occasionally pay-per-view, sometimes back-to-back weekends.
And 3 weeks later on WWE Network.
My favorite thing I look forward to on a daily basis, what gets me up in the morning, is the Golden Role Models. And Bayley, you ruined that. And I don't know if I can ever forgive you. But it's going to be hard. Okay, Blaze. I think I'm ready.
No hugs for Bayley. No hugs.
No, that was not a hugging moment. Not at all.
We're professionals. I need you to get it together. I need you to get it together, Rage.
Okay. All right. Give me a minute. Let me get the tears wiped from my eyes.
We are about to do WrestleMania 5! The mega powers are about to collide. This is gonna be great.
Nope. I just can't. I just can't. You know what? Unless you have something you'd like to add, I think we just need to move on to the next match.
It's what Sasha would have wanted.
It is what Sasha would have wanted. The boss. Okay, so we start this show off. They let us know that it is at Trump Plaza. This is the second year in a row they have used this venue. So 2 years in a row, we're in Atlantic City, Trump Plaza. And then they announced the WWF Women's Champion, Rockin' Robin, is going to sing America the Beautiful.
I'm not the word I'd use.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here. Since WrestleMania 1, we've had a great tradition of famous singers singing this song. Well, we had Mean Gene Okerlund, didn't we?
Yeah, in the first one.
But I mean, the second, the third, and the
fourth. They went back to the tradition of the first one.
We've had celebrities singing this song And then out of nowhere, WrestleMania 5, they just have Rock and Robin do it. A little confusing, maybe. I'd love to find out a little bit of history. If anybody knows the history, please let us know. I'm sure maybe Boomer might have some insight. But it feels like maybe somebody backed out last minute. I mean, really like to know what happened here because it was a very odd choice to let Rock and Robin sing. And what really makes me wonder is that the best singer in the locker room?
Well, you know, Rock and Robin wasn't really rocking very well. It seems to me like maybe you're right. Somebody backed out and then they were like, we need someone to sing this. And they didn't audition her. They were just like, Rock and Robin came up and was like, I can sing.
She didn't seem very confident in her ability to sing either.
Well,
you could see in her face that she knew she couldn't sing. And Jesse the Body Ventura made sure to let us know she shouldn't quit her day job. She needs to stick to wrestling. He said what everybody
it was may saying. It may have been the heel thing, but it's also the truth.
I think I would have rather, if you're not going to get a big celebrity to sing this, I think if you look at the wrestlers they had at the time, wouldn't a Honky Tonk Man rendition had been more appropriate and fitting? Just Rock and Robin, just throw her out there.
Oh, or hear me out. Million Dollar Man pays them to force Virgil to sing. So just seeing him out there, like, and Virgil intentionally singing terribly would be great.
I don't know. It just was an odd moment considering the history in which we know of them getting great people to do this at the beginning of WrestleMania. So I'd really like to know what happened with WrestleMania 5. I'm just kind of wondering. But then we get the first match of the night. We get King Haku comes out with Bobby the Brain Heenan, and his opponent is the Mighty Hercules.
The Demigod!
So the beginning of this match, I thought, started off pretty good. I thought there was some good spots right away, high octane. But then somewhere, maybe when it flickered black on the screen, I don't know.
Yeah, that was weird.
In the middle of the match, all of a sudden during a bear hug, Haku was doing a bear hug on Hercules. The screen got dark. You could still see them, but it was just a shadowy look. I don't know if the lights flickered in the arena or if it was a camera thing. I'm not 100% sure what exactly happened, but the screen
went dark. I think it was more, it felt more like a camera thing than the flickering of lights.
Well, I don't know what exactly happened there, but after it happened, I felt like the match got kind of sloppy and bad afterwards.
Yeah, there was some weird spots here. There was a part where Haku does like a super kick as Hercules is jumping off the top rope, and it completely missed him to the left. Hercules sells it like he took the hit.
Yeah, it was sloppy. There and was then also we, a, like a backbreaker. That
well, the first one looked devastating. Really good, yeah,
but then Haku kept a hold of him and tried to do another one and completely missed his back, hit like the bottom of his butt. It just looked sloppy.
Yeah, and then we've already made comments of how we feel about bear hugs, and
unless you're Andre the Giant, don't do it.
Well, unless you're much bigger than your opponent, I think is more the accurate statement. And Hercules is not a small man.
I don't think Hercules is smaller than Haku at all.
Yeah, and he's like clubbing him while he's being and like doing nothing, and I'm just like, you're telling me that Haku doesn't feel the clubbing of a demigod rage?
Well, anyhow, so then we get the finish of this match is a suplex bridge into a pin.
Yeah, and they weren't entirely sure who got the win. We've done this a few times already.
The referee didn't hesitate to raise
Hercules. No, he didn't, but then they showed the commentators
the
replay, were.
In the replay, you can see Hercules. And I thought this was actually good ring awareness. Hercules actually lifted his shoulder up, his one shoulder up specifically
to not get the
pin. To not have two guys pinned at once.
Yeah, and we actually so had a replay of this awareness. Match. Yeah. So
that was pretty good ring awareness. So after the match, the match starting the show off, it wasn't a great match. It had some sloppy parts, but there was some good spots early.
Yeah, it wasn't terrible. I mean, there was just a few botches that we noticed.
It wasn't King Harley Race versus Haku.
No, it's definitely much better than Haku's last match.
But it still wasn't great. So then we get a Mean Gene Okerlund interview of the Rockers, and we get to hear Shawn Michaels speak for the first time on our podcast. Doesn't sound the same, does he?
No, he's younger. He's obviously so much younger, but I felt like in this interview, Shawn was doing the typical wrestling voice of the times. So he didn't really try to have his own voice. He was trying to sound gruff and sound like a normal wrestler at this time.
Yeah, it just did not sound like what we're used to hearing from Shawn. It was just different because we've heard his voice a million times over. He's one of the best talkers ever.
Absolutely.
WWF, WWE.
And here he just sounds like everyone else.
So, yeah, this time it was just very generic is the best way. And it makes me wonder if his voice changed that much throughout the years, or did he tweak his voice throughout the years to sound better? It really makes you wonder. Because if this is normal sounding Shawn, he would not be the showstopper, the heartbreak kid, Shawn Michaels that we know and love.
Yeah, his voice is so distinctive that it was really jarring for us to hear. Yeah, Marty Jannetty, however, kind of
sounded like Marty Jannetty.
Yeah.
I mean, he never sounded much different than that, in my opinion.
Right. I'm just saying he was more unique and interesting compared to Shawn in this promo.
If you'd watch this now in 1989, you would say, that Marty Jannetty's got a career, and you would think Shawn's the weak link of the team, right?
Well, in fairness, Shawn was the young guy. Marty Jannetty was the veteran, so he was kind of teaching Shawn the ropes at this time. So, you know, you start somewhere, right? You start somewhere.
Fair enough. It'll definitely be interesting to see the evolution of Shawn and to see how he blossoms into a better entertainer. Because in the ring, I think we've already seen he's pretty good in the ring.
He's pretty good, but
we haven't seen anything bad from him in the ring yet.
No, but I think we've also noticed that Marty Jannetty is actually, you can tell that he's definitely better. And like, you can tell that he is the veteran and he knows what he's doing.
Right. So that'll be interesting to see him evolve as the years go on, because this is, you know, as everybody know that listens to this podcast, by now you know, this is, in my opinion, the GOAT. He is my favorite of all time.
He probably is the best wrestler of all time, in my opinion as well.
So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing his voice change as we hear him in interviews. It'll be interesting to see when that starts happening.
Right.
So let's move on to the next one, see what we got going.
All right.
Okay, in the next bout, we get the Twin Towers, Akeem and the Big Boss Man with Slick in their corner. And they are taking on the Rockers, Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty. This match from the get-go starts out with high energy and excitement.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Rockers were doing awesome things. They had a drop kick, both of them, from two different corners. Mind you, Shawn kind of missed.
Didn't really connect, but it was still fun to watch.
Yeah.
You got the idea of what was going on.
Marty hit first, and then
Shawn kind of hit air.
Yeah.
But other than that, this match was flawless. And anybody who wants to learn how to sell a move in the wrestling industry, jeez, Shawn Michaels sold the hell out of a clothesline that Akeem put on. And it was just great.
Devastating.
I mean, it just shows if you sell it, anybody can look good in the ring. Because let's be honest, we've kind of laughed at Akeem every time we've seen a Kane. He's kind of silly. He comes. He does this whole little strut where he's kind of moving his arms constantly and dancing. What does Sean do? Sean looks at Akeem while he's doing that, and he does the moonwalk. I mean, he plays on what his opponent is doing, and he just makes it fun. He sells every move. That clothesline didn't look super vicious on Akeem's side. He didn't really run and do the clothesline, but Sean sold it like it was a clothesline from hell.
Yeah, he did.
And it just looked better because of the way he sold it.
Yeah. Another cool spot was Sean jumping off the top rope and Boss Man catching him and just turning around and power bombing him.
Oh, that was vicious power bomb.
Yeah.
And it looked good. We can't do a big Boss Man match without mentioning the appearance of the magical and mystical Belly. I swear this thing has made an appearance every time this guy has stepped to the ring during our podcast. We have not done a big Boss Man match without seeing his belly exposed. I don't know if in 1989 or before that, 88, when we've seen him, I don't know if the shirts just didn't make him strong enough to control such a force of blubber in which he has
around his belly. You cannot contain that power.
But my goodness, this man's belly is exposed no matter who he's wrestling, when he's wrestling, and it's happened every single time.
Yeah, he likes to expose that stomach.
Oh, yeah. So we just... And obviously it worked in this match because he gets the 1-2-3. Unfortunately, the Rockers lose this one.
Yeah, it's sad.
But it was a very, very fun match.
It was. It was one of those classic big men versus small men matches. And the Rockers did moves that actually made sense facing these guys. It was a lot of cool spots, a lot of cool moves. It was a lot of fun.
A lot of tag team moves from both teams. We had a double avalanche during the match that Marty Jannetty looked like he died. between the two of them, 600 pounds probably coming and running at you. Oh, dear Lord. I didn't think he'd ever met. Well, and I don't think he's been right again. He's been tweeting crazy shit and everything. So, I mean, this might be the moment in which his marbles got rocked.
Perhaps. Perhaps. Yeah, it's it was a fun match. We really liked it, which we love the Rockers, so I was expecting good things from this. But, you know, Akeem's not exactly the best, so I was a little worried about that. Big Boss Man.
He's all right.
He's all right. His belly has some power.
Yes, he does. His belly definitely has some power. So, moving on, the next thing we get... We get a Tony Schiavone interview. Now, wrestling fans know Tony Schiavone has spent the majority of his career. It was in the WCW, and now you can find him on AEW. So, Tony Schiavone, seeing him on WrestleMania and on WWF programming, I mean, I'm a wrestling fan, and I guess I never even paid attention that Tony Schiavone was ever in the WWF. So, that to me... I mean, I'm sure Boomer's listening right now saying, oh, I can't believe you didn't know that, you know, but
he's straightening up his glasses, you know.
We were pretty young when all this took place and everything. So I just never realized Tony Schiavone was ever in WWF. But we get him interviewing the Million Dollar Man and Virgil, and we get to see our first appearance of the Million Dollar Championship.
It's a beautiful belt.
Beautiful belt. And he's wearing the all-black outfit. This is the Million Dollar Man we grew up seeing all the time and loving, with the title around his waist, the black with the gold money signs and everything. This is classic-looking Million Dollar Man from what we remember is in our childhood.
Yeah.
And this is the first time we get to see it. So he's talking about... being around the elite people that's in the stature of him, you know, talking about Trump and everything. And you know, it's just a quick little interview. I'm not even 100% sure who he's facing tonight. I don't even think he mentioned it.
I don't know.
Yeah, because we know Hogan's taking on Randy Savage.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
So a little curious who his opponent is tonight.
We'll find out later, I would imagine.
Well, when we got the Rockers interview, the Rockers match was right away. So let's press play and see if maybe he's on next.
All right.
Okay, so the next match we get is the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, with Virgil versus Brutus the Barber Beefcake, or as Gorilla Monsoon, for some reason, throughout the whole match, wants to call him, Brutai. So, I got a theory. There's only one reason why I think he calls him Brutai. Is he a Michigan fan? Refuses to call him Brutus because that's our mascot?
Maybe there's a bunch of Brutus the Barber Briefcakes, and that is the plural term.
So, Brutai. Two men in the ring right now.
That's right.
Brutai.
One is naked to the... Wait. One is not visible to the naked eye.
It was interesting. He didn't seem to know how to say Brutus.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that.
And the funniest thing about it is Jesse the Body Ventura never corrected him once.
No.
Okay, so this match, I mean, we're really big fans of the Million Dollar Man, but there wasn't a whole lot in this match to really stand out. It wasn't a bad match, it just wasn't a memorable match. I didn't think there was anything that got you excited about this.
It was kind of quick. It was a fast match. There was a fun spot. Once again, Million Dollar Man selling moves. Brutus starts hitting him, hitting his head on the turnbuckle. And after taking the mini turnbuckle hits, Million Dollar Man just sells that and just falls flat on his face, straight down. I mean, so... You know, we still had some good sells by Million Dollar Man that I enjoyed. But, yeah, it was kind of a quick match. I mean, not bad, just quick.
And it ends in a double count out because, of course, Virgil gets involved. And so Brutai chases Virgil around the ring. Million Dollar Man goes out there to kind of catch him at the pass. And they kind of start battling outside the ring. And the referee counts to 10, and it's a double count out. But that's not where it ends there. It felt like the match seemed to get a little bit more exciting after the end of the match than during the match, in my opinion. A lot of extracurriculars going on during the end of the match there. And I don't know. I expected more just because of Million Dollar Man being in this match. And it's not like Brutus the Barber Beefcake, so nobody. But it just, to me, like I said, it wasn't a bad match. I don't want people to think there was botches or anything like that. It was a clean, worked match. My problem with the match is it just, there wasn't much excitement in the match. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it didn't feel like a good WrestleMania match.
Yeah.
But it was a fine match.
Yeah, it was just kind of there. It was dull.
Yeah, I think the problem is we had a much higher expectation for this match because we were really looking forward to it. So the fact that it was kind of dull and, you know, kind of quick and it wasn't a lot to it, we were just kind of disappointed because, I mean, we love Million Dollar Man. We like Brutus the Barber Beefcake. So it was just kind of sad that it was... Not more. We just wanted more. That's what it comes down to. It wasn't bad. It just we wanted more.
Okay, so after the match, we get a clip from earlier today. Apparently, they had a WrestleMania breakfast, and you get somewhat of an interview with Lord Alfred Hayes interviewing the Bushwhackers while they're eating. So they've got a face full of food. Sounds like they're going to be taking on the Rougeau brothers.
Yeah. Love me some Bushwhackers.
Love me some Bushwhackers. And you know, we met the Bushwhackers when we were kids.
Yes, we did.
So that'll be a fun one to watch. So let's go ahead and watch it. Okay, so the next match we get is the Bushwhackers versus the Fabulous Rougeau Brothers with Jimmy Hart in their corner. And I don't know, they have some fun spots. The Bushwhackers are fun to watch. They do some fun things. But this is really the comedy moment of the show.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, Bushwhackers have always been kind of a... They've never really been a serious tag team. They've always been kind of a comedy team. So, yeah. So any match with the Bushwhackers are pretty much a comedy match.
Yeah, so, I mean, this wasn't a bad match. Once again, kind of same feeling I had with the last match. There wasn't any amazing spots, but there wasn't any bad spots. No botches. It was just a decently worked match, but nothing that I think you'll remember in time. You know what I mean? So the match ends with the Bushwhackers doing their little battering ram where they hold the head of the other Bushwhacker and, you know, kind of run into one of the Rougeau brothers and they get the 1-2-3.
You know, like a battering ram.
Like a battering ram, exactly. So that's how this match ends. Not much to really say about this match unless you got anything to add.
No. Not really. There isn't much to say about it. It was a quick match. The Rougeau brothers were fine again. They're just this team we've been seeing since WrestleMania 1 that I just kind of like, they're there. They don't do anything super interesting, but they're not terrible either. They're just fine.
Okay, so the next match we get is between two absolute legends. One that's in the Hall of Fame, one that should be in the Hall of Fame. Unfortunately, his wife or his widow will not allow it, but maybe one day, and we understand why. It just sucks, because he deserves to be recognized by the fans. But it is Mr. Perfect versus the Blue Blazer, which we obviously know is Owen Hart. So I'm looking forward. This match is going to be great, right?
Yep, that's what we're looking forward to.
So, you know, my opinion of this match is I think it could have been better than it was. Not that it was bad. It was great wrestling involved. It was just too short for me. I wish there was more to this because these two could have actually tore the house down. Unfortunately, I don't think they were both really early in their career, and I don't think they gave them the time to tear the house down. But the little sample we did get was nothing but great wrestling in the ring.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the Million Dollar Man versus Brutus the Barber Beefcap. I'm not saying that is bad. I'm saying that that was also a decent match. But we wanted more.
This was a better match than that match, by far.
Sure, it was.
There was a lot of great spots. These two really know how to sell moves. I just thought these two worked well, really, really good together. And unfortunately, my only downfall in this match is it was too short. But this was I thought this was a great match. Just too short.
I wasn't trying to insult the match. I'm just saying that I thought that the Million Dollar Man versus Brutus match was also a good match, but it was too short. Also had a weird ending, a slightly different ending. This one had a clear cut end.
Oh, yeah, this had a good ending. Owen thought he got the 1-2-3, argued it, got hit with a vicious clothesline, and then
it's a forearm to the back.
No, I think he turned around. I think that was a clothesline.
No, he hits him in the back with a forearm.
Okay, we'll go to the tape because I'm pretty sure I'm going to turn around.
Nope, I don't think so. Go to the tape.
We're going to go to the tape live while you guys are listening to us.
Well, they show it right here in the
recap. Because I'm telling you right now, I believe this was a clothesline.
I'm telling you, this is a forearm. See, he's yelling. He's yelling.
He's arguing the 1, 2, 3.
It was a forearm, but
he turned around.
He turned around, but that's still a forearm.
That is a clothesline, Steven.
Look at that. I'm sorry. Look at that. Look at that. That was a forearm to the face.
You said it was to the back of the head.
I did think it was at the back, so we were both kind of right. But it wasn't a clothesline.
I was completely right. You were wrong.
No, no, no. This is a forearm.
Anyhow, regardless, it sounds like Rage is right, Blaze is wrong.
No, then it was still a forearm.
Then Mr. Perfect puts on the perfect plex. 1, 2, 3. This is the second suplex. Now, granted, this is not just any old suplex. This is the perfect plex. But this is the second perfect suplex into a bridge, 1, 2, 3, that we've had on this show.
Sure. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's a little different, obviously, because...
Well, because it wasn't perfect before. Hercules did not perform a perfect plex.
Well, Hercules, that was pretty much a German suplex.
I agree there's different suplexes. I am just pointing out that we have had two matches end in a suplex into a bridge for the 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
I just think it's interesting, too. Two matches already in this WrestleMania that ended essentially the same way.
Yeah. There's also been a lot less shenanigans in this WrestleMania so far. Pretty much just the $1 million match. Yeah. But that didn't... I mean, yes, there were shenanigans involved, but ultimately there was a double count out because they're fighting outside the ring. But yeah, Virgil gets involved, but like it wasn't like nobody won because of cheating.
Fair enough. Okay, so let's move on to see what we got next. Okay, so the next thing we get is a special guest, supposedly, is what we're being told, but it ends up being Jesse the Body Ventura. He just kind of stands and waves to the crowd, you know. Just basks in his glory, I suppose. So that's a little, you know, fun little cute moment, I guess they have. But then we get the real special guest. We get Run DMC and Jam Master Jay. They perform a number like a WrestleMania song, basically. I've never heard this song before, but it was all about WrestleMania and pile drivers and all this. But they do a little performance in the ring, and I'm pretty sure they were lip-syncing.
I mean, sometimes that happens.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just because this was made in 89 and the quality of the video.
That could be it, too.
But it just didn't look like the mouths were perfectly matching what they were saying. I could definitely tell it on one of the rappers more than the other rapper. It just did not look very clean. But we get a celebrity appearance, a musical performance, and it still just makes me wonder, if you got Run DMC to perform in the middle of the show, what happened? Why Rockin' Robin?
I don't know, but I feel like you kind of overlooked something, forgot about something. We got to see how fit Mr. Fuji is.
Oh, yeah, I apologize. I missed a segment where they showed Mr. Fuji running a 5K, talking about how his team, the Powers of Pain, are going to become World Tag Team Champions when they face Demolition on tonight's WrestleMania.
Yeah, and they showed him at the end. He ran that 5K. Definitely did that.
I'm sure he did.
With his cane in hand.
Yeah, with his cane in hand. So, we got that little 5K thing. We got the performance Run DMC. Now it looks like we're about to move on to the tag team championship match, which should be good because I know Powers of Pain is kind of a poor man's LOD, but in my opinion, every time we've seen them, I think they're pretty good.
And we know we like Demolition, so.
Yeah, of course we like Demolition. So let's go ahead and check this out. Okay, so the next match we get is the WWF World Tag Team Championship match. And we just found out, we didn't realize this when they showed the 5K thing, that Mr. Fuji is in this match. This is a handicap match for the Tag Team Championship. So it's the Powers of Pain with Mr. Fuji versus the champions, Demolition.
Well, he was showing you how fit he was by that very much undoctored. Obviously, he definitely ran that 5K to show how fit he is because of this match.
Yeah, so this match was, I felt it was a pretty good work match also, but still kind of the trend of this WrestleMania, nothing overly exciting. Now, we did get kind of a fun little finish. Mr. Fuji tried to throw the powder in the face of Demolition, and he accidentally caught one of the Powers of Pain instead. Demolition double-teamed and did a double-team move on him and won the match 1-2-3. But thought this was a fun match, good worked match, but still kind of the trend of this WrestleMania, nothing overly exciting.
Yeah, this hasn't been a big WrestleMania so far.
Yeah, we haven't had that, like, classic Macho Man, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat type of match in this show that's really kind of grabbed us. I really thought the Blue Blazer versus Mr. Perfect could have been that match for us, and unfortunately, it just didn't quite. Short. It was just too short, too little of a sample size, and it just didn't really do what we thought it was going to do.
Yeah, yeah. But this wasn't a bad match. This was fine. This was fun. It was all right.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, not much more to say about this match. But like I said, it was a fun match. It just wasn't nothing major exciting.
Right.
Okay, so before we move on to the next match, we get Tony Schiavone outside of Macho Man Randy Savage's dressing room trying to get an interview, but Macho Man seems to be fired up. He kind of pushes the door open, and the cameraman falls or whatever, and it's a whole thing. So, obviously, they're showing that Macho Man's pretty pumped and overexcited for this match.
Yeah, I mean, quick segment. It is what it is.
So then we move on to our next match. We have, it is Dino Bravo with Frenchie Martin with Rugged Ronnie Garvin. And before they start the match, they bring out Jimmy Superfly Snuka, which we haven't seen in a while.
No, I don't think we've seen on the, well, wasn't he in the, was he in the first?
Yeah, well, remember he had the, yeah, he was definitely in the first WrestleMania, but.
But not as a wrestler. He was, like, there with someone else.
I don't remember. I'd have to go back and look, but we haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah.
On any of the shows that we've done. So it was a surprise to see him, but he didn't come out to wrestle. They just announced as he was a special guest, and then that was the end of it. They didn't say he was a timekeeper. They didn't say he was anything certain. They just said special guest Jimmy Superfly Snuka, and he came out. It was just kind of odd. So then the match starts, and at first it appeared to be a squash match. Dino Bravo was basically handling things pretty well until Rugged Ronnie Garvin finally started getting a few moves off and turned this into more of a match. But at first glance, this really appeared like it was going to be a squash match. Like, there wasn't going to be any chance for him. Like I said, it turned into somewhat of a match. It wasn't a bad match at all, actually. It just, it's kind of odd.
I literally thought he was a jobber, Rugged Ronnie Garvin. I didn't realize, like, he didn't get to come down the aisle at all. He was already in the ring, and it just seemed, like you said, a squash match. I thought it was a jobber match, where just to show Dino Bravo, which I hate at WrestleMania, it's, I don't know if I considered it a good match.
Well, there wasn't anything really to call it a super bad match. It wasn't no botches. All the moves were clean.
Fair enough.
It just felt like it looked really one-sided until just a certain point in the match. things started getting a little bit more interesting. So if it wasn't for that, this would have felt more like a squash match, and I agree, it would have been a really bad match. They even had Ronnie Garvin kind of retaliate at the end and kind of get, you know, the pop from the crowd at the end there by attacking Frenchie Martin and everything. So it was just kind of a weird moment with a guy that we're not really that familiar with. But in the end, Dino Bravo did use a side slam and got the 1-2-3.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so the next match we have is Strike Force, Tito Santana and Rick Martel versus the Brain Busters with Bobby the Brain Heenan, Arn Anderson, and Tully Blanchard. This was a pretty good match. I liked this match. There was a lot of great spots in it. There was a double figure four at one time that Strike Force put on the Brain Busters. And it was a pretty pretty fun match. And the real story of the match, though, is Tito Santana inadvertently did a high-flying elbow into Rick Martel. And after this happened, Rick Martel was on the side apron, kind of holding his face, acting like he was injured. And as soon as Tito Santana needed a tag, Rick Martel walked away. Not only walked away, but walked out of the arena.
Tito was not being careful. He hit him. He had every right to be mad. I mean, how can you do that to your tag team partner? Rick Martel had every right.
So we get a heel turn at this WrestleMania. Might be the first, I guess it's not the first heel face turn we've seen in our podcast, but I think this is the first heel turn we might have seen in our WrestleMania shows.
Yes.
That I can recall.
Yes, because the heel face with the demolition and Powers of Pain happened at Survivor Series.
Yes. So, like I said, this was a pretty good match. Had some good wrestling action, obviously, with Arn Anderson. You're going to get that. He is one of the true legends in the ring.
And Tito's pretty good, too.
Tito's pretty good. I mean, they're all pretty good. They're all legends. Well, I don't know, Rick Martel, but not that he's a bad wrestler. I don't know if he's up to the level of a few of those guys. But I really enjoyed this match. It seems like the tag matches in this show seems to be a little bit better than the singles matches so far.
Yeah, agreed.
So, anyhow, after the match, we end up getting a Rick Martel interview with Mean Gene Okerlund. And he basically states that he's sick of that guy. He's sick of carrying him around, saying that he is he's always the one, you know, that has to win for their team and everything. So he gives kind of a, you know, somewhat explanation of why he did what he did.
Had every reason to be mad.
Okay. Okay, so the next thing we get in this WrestleMania is what we are told is going to be a Piper's Pit. But then out comes Brother Love. Brother Love! He comes out, does his best Piper impersonation, which actually wasn't
not a terrible impersonation.
He's not worthless, I guess. He's mainly worthless, but he does a good Piper impression. I'll give him that.
It was pretty funny.
So, was it funny, though? He didn't really say anything funny. He just
the impression was funny.
Okay, so we're going to veer off track here. There's two different type of impressionists. There's some that just do impressions, but they say nothing funny. And then there's people that actually do stuff funny with the impression. And I think there's a difference. Like, I've seen a lot of comedians. Like, me and my family, we watch America's Got Talent. I don't know if you watch it.
But do not.
We watch America's Got Talent.
Not really.
And there's sometimes there's people that get on there and they'll do celebrity impressions. And that's fine and dandy. But everybody's laughing in the crowd, and I'm just looking like, he didn't say nothing funny. I mean, yeah, he's good at impressions, good for him, but the material wasn't there to be funny, you know what I mean? So
I get what you're saying, but his impression, considering he's making fun of Rowdy, it's not like he's trying to do a talent competition just to do an impression. He's doing a bit where he's making fun of Rowdy and saying how great Brother Love. It was entertaining. I feel like it was entertaining. I enjoyed it.
Anyhow, so he gets a little bit of a spotlight. Then we get Morton Downey Jr. Now, us youngsters here don't remember him very well. But apparently he had a talk show. So he had his own little talk show.
And he was a dick.
He appears to be a dick. He comes on here, acts like a dick. He takes a few jabs at Brother Love, makes a few comments about him. But then you get Rowdy Roddy Piper's music. It hits the bagpipes. So Rowdy Roddy Piper is back for the first time in over 2 years in the WWF.
And they mentioned in there that oh, Rowdy Roddy Piper went Hollywood.
Yeah, so apparently Piper left to go to Hollywood, make some movies. He's been gone for 2 years. So the whole idea of Brother Love coming out first was like, ah, we got you. You thought you were going to see Piper and Piper's Pit, but you actually get Brother Love. But, of course, the real Piper finally comes out. He comes out and he starts making fun of Brother Love, of course, and he does it very well. This is where the segment really starts shining when Piper gets in there.
Yeah.
He rips off Brother Love's kilt, which, according to Piper, it wasn't a real kilt. It was a skirt, according to Piper. So he rips off the skirt. Brother Love runs with his underwear, trying to, you know, cover himself with his hands, runs down the aisle and leaves the ringside. So then that leaves Morton Downey Jr. Now, Piper starts trying to talk to Morton Downey Jr., and Morton Downey Jr. constantly wants to blow smoke in his face.
I would punch him.
Yeah.
I don't know why he didn't punch
him. I'm surprised it took him so many times, but Piper would constantly look at him after about the second or third time. He's like, Mr. Downey Jr., please don't blow smoke in my face. And this went on for actually several minutes. This was quite a long segment. This was probably almost 20 minutes.
It was like
long,
20 minute segment,
it was,
yeah.
It was really long.
But you also got to realize, I believe this is the first return of Piper since, you know, WrestleMania 4, 5, or 3?
No, further back than that.
Was it 3?
I think 2. He did a boxing match in 2. I don't know if he was in 3. I'd have to look.
Yeah, because he faced Adonis, remember? That Adrian was his Adonis last match.
Okay, so 3.
So it was WrestleMania 3.
Okay.
He faced Adrian Adonis.
This is WrestleMania 5, so 2 years. Okay.
So this is 2 years without Piper, so it makes sense that they would do a 20-minute segment with Piper.
Well, anyhow, so after so many times of getting smoke blown in his face, Piper finally pulls out a fire extinguisher and blows a fire extinguisher in Morton Downey Jr.'s face. So
it was
this was a funny segment. Like I said, we're a little young. We don't remember Morton Downey Jr. at all. Like, at all.
I was asking if that was, like, Robert Downey Jr.'s dad or something.
I looked it up. He's not.
He's not related?
And the man literally smoked the whole time he was in the ring.
Oh, my gosh. I think, like, 7-8 cigarettes.
Yeah, he just kept... Oh, another thing he was doing was during the Brother Love segment, he was constantly flicking cigarettes to Piper during that segment.
Yeah, the dude wasn't funny. He was just an asshole.
He was literally...
He was just straight up an asshole.
Just a dick.
And I actually am disappointed that Rowdy took so long to... I mean, it was great. Don't get me wrong. I guess it makes all sense. But, man, I would have wanted to punch that guy the second time he blew smoke in my face.
Yeah, it was rough. So, anyhow, little fun fact about this Morton Downey Jr. Well, I don't know if it's a fun fact. But in the year 2001, he ends up passing away. Can you guess what from?
I'm going to go with cancer of the lung.
Lung cancer. So it's just kind of ironic. The man literally would not stop smoking the whole segment.
Chain smoke.
20-minute segment. smoked several cigarettes, and the man dies of lung cancer in 2001.
Not sure I would call that fun facts, but...
Okay, maybe not a fun fact. That's just a sad fact. Here at the Rage and Blaze Show, we do not condone smoking or tobacco use of any kind.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I mean, people are allowed to do what they want, but we're not exactly fans of it.
Yeah, so...
We're not trying to tell you, you can't smoke that cigarette. Just know that you might die in 2001 of lung cancer because of it.
I think it says it right on the box.
I believe it does, yes.
So anyhow, any kids out there listening to our show...
Don't do cigarettes.
Don't smoke, yeah. Okay. So I think that's where we're going to have to cut it off. This would be part one of WrestleMania 5. We are already 2 hours into the show. We're probably, an hour into this podcast?
Yeah, roughly. Pretty close. About 50 minutes.
Okay. So we're going to end up turning this into a two-part episode. So far, I mean, we've watched half of WrestleMania 5. What are you thinking?
So far, it's been decent. I've been enjoying WrestleMania 5. I think I really, really, really like the Piper segment.
The Piper segment's been a high, and my personal opinion is it's kind of been on the low end of the spectrum of the WrestleManias that we've watched so far. I don't know if it's the bottom, but to me, this has not been a great WrestleMania, in my opinion.
I guess the Piper segment just made me excited.
Well, yeah, you're looking at what have you done for me lately, and you got a Piper segment, so you're all happy.
And I've been waiting for this. I think we've talked about it on the podcast. Like, where's Piper? Where's Piper?
My biggest issue is I think the matches have been kind of lackluster.
That's fair.
I don't think they've been horrible, bad matches. They just, nothing has been memorable or exciting yet. We don't have that one match that you would look back and say, oh, man, do you remember WrestleMania 5? That was one of the greatest of all times, you know what I mean? So, in my opinion, this just has not lived up to some of the other WrestleManias we've already watched.
We did get the cool heel turn of Rick Martel.
We did get a heel turn of Rick Martel, but I don't know. It just
felt more like a proper heel turn than the double turn.
Yeah, the double turn was awkward. Yeah, just the way it went out. The went about it was just kind of weird. But yeah, this was a good heel turn, you know, like holding the face, like I'm not going to tag you, and then just dipping out. Like, this was a good heel turn. I don't know. Hopefully the rest of this show in our part two episode, hopefully the rest of the show can redeem this WrestleMania. But so far, it's kind of on the low end. So, spoiler alert, when I do my rankings, I don't see it being at the top of the list at all. Might be somewhere in the middle of the bottom.
Yeah. I mean, it's still better than WrestleMania 1.
Is it, though?
Yeah.
I'm sure.
That segment with Roddy Piper was better than anything that happened in WrestleMania 1.
That's horrible. That's the way you feel about WrestleMania 1.
It was a house show.
Well,
with WrestleMania tagged on it.
At Madison Square Garden. It wasn't really a house show. I think we've talked about this before.
It felt like a house show. It had all the familiar symptoms of a house show.
Okay. So, apparently if you've watched a show at Madison Square Garden, apparently that is considered a house show in your opinion.
It is when you do a terrible booking job like WrestleMania 1.
Well, they're, like I said, that's kind of where they had to get their footing somewhere. And they had to get a start. I think the celebrities, there was a lot more celebrities in WrestleMania 1 than we're seeing here. I mean, well, don't get me wrong. We got a Morton Downey Jr. celebrity, which I guess if you lived in the world of 1989, maybe that was a big deal. But he must not have lived on too well in the history.
Well, you also got to realize we're still in the first half of WrestleMania 5.
No, I know.
We haven't got the main event.
I'm gonna judge it based off the rest of the show. Don't get me wrong. It could get. I know we've got an Intercontinental title match coming up. We got WWF World Heavyweight Championship coming up. So I mean, we've got some matches.
I thought I was the pessimist here.
I'm just saying, we've got some things going on, and we'll see what happens. But as of right now, at the beginning of the show, this is just not looking like one of the better WrestleManias so far. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, that's fair.
Okay, so that's going to about do us for WrestleMania 5 Part 1 podcast. But before we go, let's plug our pluggables.
You can find me at Dragon Blazer Productions on the YouTubes, the Facebooks, the not the Twitters, because Twitter is at Dragon Blazer Pro, but the Instagrams is also Dragon Blazer Productions.
Okay, and before I plug my pluggables, I got a question for you. So is there multiple Facebooks, multiple Twitters?
There is.
Multiple Instagrams?
There's so many YouTubes and Facebooks.
Multiple YouTubes?
Okay. That's right.
I've always wanted to know that. I've never really stopped you during this, but kind of always wanted to know, you know, like, how many are there? Is there a universe full of Facebooks?
I mean, there's multiple universes, so of course there are multiple Facebooks and YouTubes.
I'll be darned. Okay, so you can find me at the Rage and Blaze Show Facebook page, at the Rage and Blaze Show on Instagram, at Ricky Rayberg on Twitter, and that's all I got for my pluggables.
All right, well, then, I think that's it.
Okay, so this has been the Rage and Blaze Show. I'm Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
Good night from Rage's Pit.
And here is your winners and still podcast tag team champions of the world, the Rage and Blaze Show. Thank you for listening.